Afternoon. Just about said this morning, but Callie, where'd you say my Bible was? Up front. Ah, there we go. Hiding. Thank you. Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah, it's what a beautiful day. We finally got white stuff to make it more like that. But we're glad that you're here tonight, and pray that this is just a. For many of you, it might be a very traditional thing, but in the midst of tradition, there's always the joy and the nuggets of truth that come out of some of the traditions that have been passed on from generations, and those are always good to continue. And so would you join me in a word of prayer as we begin our time tonight? Thank you, Lord God, for how you've been so faithful. Lord, you're just so trustworthy, so reliable. Lord, you've done so much, and most of it for us came when Jesus came as a baby. He was birthed into this world to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our King, to be our healer, our deliverer, to be our sustainer, to be our joy, our peace, to be everything that we would ever need. And Lord, it's that which we celebrate this night of who you are and what you're really all about. And so, Father, we just ask that you would just come by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, and that you would help illuminate or make known who you are more than ever before. That you would come and move by your presence into each one's heart as they open up their heart to you. And as we remember what Christmas is really all about, the greatest gift that has ever been given, that always continues to keep on giving. Lord, we're just very thankful for that. We pray that tonight as we celebrate this night, that you'll be exalted, you'll be praised to the highest level you can be, because it's because of you that we're here tonight. And so we just love you and honor you and praise you tonight, and we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's going to be some of you that are new to us or your visitors, and so we welcome you. And with that, we want to encourage you to be friendly to those that are, maybe you're not aware of who they are. Make sure you extend a hand of greeting and bless them tonight as well, because that'll be a great thing to encourage each other. So we're glad that you're here. So we're going to sing a song, and I need a hymnal. I gotta grab one there. So grab your hymnal that's in your chair by you. And we're gonna start with number 131. If you wanna stand with us tonight, 131. Angels from the realms of glory, with your flight o'er all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Worship Christ the newborn King. at this time. You may be seated. Julie's going to come and she's going to help us to. You'll have to hold that one.
Tonight we'll share with you an old, old story. It is a story of love, of sacrifice, of mystery. It's a story about bravery and death and about conquering evil. It's about joy, a baby, and even some angels. This story, God's story, reminds us that Christ brings us the hope that there is more to life than this world. It reminds us that Christ will give us peace that defies all human reason, that God's love is unconditional and eternal, and that the joy of God offers is indescribable. This story has all the makings of great fiction, but it's not fiction, it's all true. The most amazing story ever told is not the result of human imagination, but rather the result of divine inspiration and intervention. Maybe you've heard this story so many times that you know it by heart. Maybe you've heard the story before but never really understood. And maybe you've never heard this story told quite like this. Whatever the case, tonight it is our prayer that this story will touch your heart as never before.
Number 124, if you'll keep your hymnal close to you, we'll be singing some more. Number 124.
The only logical place to start our story is at the very beginning.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. For all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. In this beautiful creation, God planted a garden for the man he had created. God filled the garden with all kinds of trees that were both lovely to look at and good to eat. Four rivers ran through this garden to keep it lush and green. But God saw that everything was not yet perfect. Adam needed a companion, so God created Eve to work and live alongside him. Sometimes in the cool of the day, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. God loved them very much. Now in this garden was one tree that God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from. But one day a serpent came to Eve. As the Bible says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent tricked Eve into eating from the one tree that God commanded them not to touch. Eve brought the fruit to Adam and he ate it too. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When they ate from that tree, everything changed. For the first time, Adam and Eve hid from God. They knew God would be coming to walk with them in the garden, and they hid. God knew they had sinned before he went to the garden to find them. God could have abandoned the creation that had abandoned him, but he didn't. God loved them, and so he went in search of them. There would be consequences for their actions, but only because God loved them so much. Oops. All right. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children in anguish. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." And he said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust." So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Am I supposed to be number narrator two?
No, it's Hannah.
Ah.
Sorry.
After this, Adam and Eve no longer walked and talked with God in the garden. God's whole creation paid the price for that one sin. Nothing would be the same. Pain, tears, toil, frustration, tear, and separation from God. This is what sin brought to God's beautiful and perfect creation. I wonder if God cried that day when he did, when he had to banish Adam and Eve from the garden that he had made for them. God knew that this sin was going to bring, was going to bring the wars, the
atrocities,
and the evil. But God knew something else as well. God knew how much he loved the people he had made. God loves us, the crown of creation. But God also knew the end of this story. When God spoke to the serpent that day, he was saying to Satan, "You may have won this battle, but I will win the war. Today, right here, I will begin my plan to bring my people back to me. I will bring them back to my garden where they will walk and talk with me. You have brought this sin into my creation, but I will send a Savior, a Messiah, to save my people and bring them back. My plan will succeed, and I will be victorious. You may strike my heel, but I will crush your head." And so the rest of God's story is the story of how God's plan unfolds, one generation at a time. God promised Adam that he would bless all the all the peoples of the earth through the descendants, the nation of Israel. During the time of Moses, God showed the Israelites again that he loved them enough to deliver them from slavery they endured in Egypt. When they wanted kings instead of God, he gave them kings, including King David, from whose line the Messiah would come. Time and time again, sin and disobedience defined God's people. God disciplined them, but he never abandoned them. God sent prophets to point the Israelites back to God and call them to repent.
My faithful Father enduring friend, your tender mercies are like a river without end. It overwhelms me. I stand in wonder once again, 'cause your grace, it still amazes me. Your love, it's a mystery, and each day your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Isaiah 9:2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And then go to 6 through 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Jehovah of hosts will perform this."
I got one more.
Sorry, switching. Going to Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
Let's turn to number 123. You want to stand with us? Number 123 in your hymnal. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations by all peoples in one heart.
Prophets spoke of promise that God made thousands of years before, a promise that he made to Adam, to Eve, and to Satan. God promised to bring his people back to him. God made promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Ruth, to David, whose father was Jesse, and to countless other descendants of Abraham. The Messiah, the Savior, would come from their line. He would be part of their family tree.
Isaiah 11:1-3. "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of Jehovah. and his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. Then to Galatians. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
The time had come, and now we see the next step in God's plan.
Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinsman, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
So there was Mary, unmarried and pregnant. Not a good situation in that day. But her fiancé Joseph was a man of faith. After an angel appeared to him in a dream, he took Mary home as his wife. Soon after, the Roman government ordered a census, and Joseph and Mary were forced to make a journey.
Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to register all the empire for taxes. This was the first registration taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David. He went to be registered with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger.
No crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. Yonder breaks a new and glorious.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them on in her heart.
O Lord, what a path you have taken me on so far. That visit from the angel Gabriel telling me about this little baby, there was so much to take in, so much to think about and do. And now, here I am in this stable with Joseph and a baby. This little baby, what am I supposed to think of him? He is mine, but he is yours. He looks like any other baby, but yet he isn't like any other baby. The shepherd spoke of the angels that came to tell them the news. They were amazed. I know that feeling. Everyone who hears about this baby is amazed, but do they really understand who he is? Do I really understand who he is and what he has come here to do? Lord, show me how to be a mother to this child. Show me what you want me to teach him. Show me how to encourage him when he is discouraged. Help me to know what to say to him when he feels alone and scared. Show me what I should protect him from, as if I could protect the Son of God. Oh, child, what will your life be like? How does the Son of God live here on earth? What will you do? Where will you go? What will you teach me? What will you teach all of us? I don't really know or understand what God's plan is, but I will be your mother. I will do my best. For some reason, God chose me, chose Joseph, chose this stable, chose this time. I don't know why. I guess that's for God to know and understand. My child, I want you to know that I will love you forever. Your father and I believe in God, and we believe in you. I have no idea what our future holds. I have no idea what your future will be, but we will trust God, your heavenly Father, to know what is best for us. Now close your eyes and go to sleep, my child. I am here, and God is with us. You are safe.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
As we celebrate the birth of Jesus and rejoice in his coming to us, we light the Christ candle. Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our peace. Jesus Christ is our joy. He is love, pure, holy, undying love. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts.
your tiny baby to warm him from the cold. She rocked her tiny baby to warm him from the cold. Hardly what she pictured in the prophecies of old. It seemed almost impossible to think it could be true. But as she pondered in her heart, she knew this was heaven's child. This was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child. The angels must have missed him as they sang him to sleep, but they marveled at the promises this baby came to keep. His father must have felt at once great sadness and great joy as he watched his little baby boy. This was heaven's child. This was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped with glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child.
You see, the story doesn't end with the baby in the manger. His birth was monumental, but it wasn't the end. With his birth, God came to earth to continue his plan to bring us back to him. In that plan, this baby, God himself, would grow up to be a man. He would teach people by word and by example about what the kingdom of God is like and how people can enter it. He would send his followers out to spread the word in Judea, in
Samaria,
and to the ends of the world. And he would be accused, arrested, and sentenced to death. A perfect human, a human who had committed no sin, this human, Jesus, went willingly to his death because he knew it was his Father's plan. He was beaten and hung on a cross. He was prepared to die.
After this, Jesus, realizing that by this time everything was completed, said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was there, so they put a sponge soaked in sour wine on a branch of hyssop and lifted it to his mouth. When he received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Did you hear that? Jesus said, "It is finished." God's plan was accomplished. Jesus died on that cross, paying for our sin. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He conquered death and made a way for his beloved people to come back to him. If we believe in Jesus, it is as if we have never sinned. We can now walk and talk with God. The garden has been opened again. We can be reunited with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The choice is now up to us. If we choose to ask Jesus to forgive our sins, to return to God, to his garden, that choice brings us the greatest joy ever imagined. An eternal, all-surpassing joy. God created us. We turned our back on him, and he had a plan to bring us back. It was a very costly plan, but it was a victorious plan. It was a plan to bring us joy, and that's what we celebrate today.
Let's turn to number 125 in your hymnal. Number 125.
This joy yet, or if you're still trying to figure out how it can come to you, we hope you'll talk with someone who knows Jesus Christ and knows the joy that he can bring. Don't let this Christmas go by without listening to God's call. God is waiting for you. He is searching for you. Just like he searched for Adam and Eve in the garden, God loves you and he wants to bring you back to him.
If you've never really asked Jesus Christ to be the Savior of your life, more importantly, the Lord of your life, tonight would be a great time. It's not something that you take lightly. It's something that you make a decision that Jesus Christ will now become the Master, the King, the Leader, the Shepherd, the Guide, the Director of your whole life, not just times of this season. And so I pray that you consider making that decision where Jesus Christ comes and is Lord, King, Master, Savior. He's also healer, deliverer. He's amazing. Many people don't get to ever enjoy him while they're here on earth because they wait till the last seconds of their life. But I pray that you and I don't wait that long, that you and I get to enjoy him so much now while we're living here that when we get to heaven, it's going to be amazing. Because everything he promised will continue to come true. So if you haven't ever made that decision, I encourage you to do that tonight. And consider that, because that's very important that you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. make him that not only he came to save us from our sin, but he also wants to come and to do a great and powerful work in us so that we live for him here and now. I know there's been a lot of scripture read, but I've got one thought that I really want to share with you before we let you go tonight. And of course, we've got a little bit of candle lighting to do, but if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When the Lord showed this to me here just yesterday, I was really excited about that because it's really, really kind of cool. In Luke chapter 2, we've already heard it, but I want you to look at verse 7. And says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger." Have you ever thought what a manger's for? That's what you put the feed in so the animals can eat. What did Jesus say he was?
Bread of life.
He says, "I am the bread of life." Isn't that interesting that he wasn't placed in a wonderful motel or someplace fancy? He was put in the very same thing that provides food for animals. He was placed in the very same thing as the bread of life. Turn over to John chapter 6, I believe. 7, excuse me. John chapter 7, verse 37. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit, who those who believed in him would later receive." So not only is he the bread of life, which is your sustenance, he's also the water that never ceases to run dry. He allows you to experience this river of living water that comes from the Holy Spirit. Even in Psalms it says, out of heaven flows a river that never runs dry. Where does it flow to? It flows down to us. So out of us, out of our belly, will flow rivers of living water. Why is that? So that you can be an example of what Jesus Christ needs to be in your community, in the place where you live. You can be an extension of Jesus Christ to the people that live around you. And you can share this wonderful, great news of Jesus coming to be Savior, Lord, King, and Master, Healer, Deliverer, all these things, peace, joy, strength, Helper of all kinds. You can be that example to them, all because he is the bread of life. He is the water that never runs dry. He's all these things. And so how are we ever going to allow that to come out of us to help someone who lives close to you? You're going to do it by how you live and how you talk and how you do things, because people are going to obviously be watching your behavior. And when you act a little bit different than they do, they wonder, wonder why. They might think you're strange anyway. You never know. But the reality is that you will be different. You're not going to be the same person you were before you met Christ. And today, the tragedy is this. Many people want Jesus to be Savior, but they don't want him to be Lord. They don't want him to be the leader, master, and king. They don't want him telling them what they should do and how they should live and what they should say. But the reality is, unless we allow him that privilege, is he really Lord? Is he really my Savior? Or is he just a free get-out-of-hell card? That I can live and do whatever I want here. And I pray that that's something that becomes more important to me and to more important to you, that every day of my life, I realize that God wants to do something in me to make sure that how I live my life is pleasing to him. I always think of the words that God said to his own son. He said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." I don't know about you, but that's what I want God to say about me. How is that ever going to happen if I only do my thing in this life and then stand before him? It's not going to happen. But when I surrender my life to him and allow him to do inside of me what needs to be done so that out of me flows more of him than more of myself, then what's going to begin to take place is people are going to begin to see Jesus Christ in me and they will look beyond who I am. And that's an example that we want to definitely show to one another at this wonderful time of year where we can celebrate that this wonderful Jesus came and brought this wonderful gift to us. Now I'm going to take one more scripture and then I'm done. Very familiar, Psalms 23. And I'd like to read it just because I think it's pretty cool. You've heard it so many times, and most of the time you hear it at funerals. Well, today's not a funeral. Today's a celebration of life. And listen to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice it was for his name, not mine. For his name. Even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's God's word. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's really important to, if you want to anticipate heaven coming down the path of your life, which is really a result of how we live here, we really have to make sure that God has his way in my life, in your life, and that we let him do what needs to be done, so that when that day comes in our life, whether early or late or midlife, doesn't matter when it comes, that you're always ready. You're always ready for that. Because God did create you for a reason. You're here by design. You're not here by mistake. And that's good news for us. Normally I would many times give you an opportunity to pray that wonderful opportunity or to receive Jesus Christ into your life. But you know, tonight, if that's something you would like to do, I read something today that caused me to think, it's like Jesus died for me publicly, so now I need to live for him publicly. And I, you know, tonight, if there's something in your heart that's stirring that you feel like you need to make Jesus not only your Savior, but you want to make him your Lord, the altar's open. Just come and just begin to pray. Just ask him, come in and be my Savior, be my Lord. And then once you do that, God will anticipate you to begin to change the things that you now do. And you'll begin to get into God's word, because God's word will feed your spirit. It'll feed that part of you that strengthens you, and it'll guide and direct you. So this evening, if that's something you would like to do, just graciously step out of your chair and come to the altar and talk to him. Because you're going to live for him publicly from this moment on. It's not going to be something you're going to be a secret about. It's something you will live publicly. So encourage you to do that tonight. Because in just a moment, we're going to light candles. And what does a candle represent? Light. Well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And guess what? If Jesus was the light of the world and I invite Jesus in me, then the light of the world lives in me, and now I need to shine like the light that's in me. Once I begin to shine, then people are going to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And that's very important. So just really want to encourage you tonight to make sure that that's something that you would consider doing tonight. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. I honestly agree with that. How many would agree with that? Amen. Yeah, see there? That's good. All right. Well, if you have your candle, we're going to start it. And kids, of course, we want you to be real careful as you're holding your candle. But remember that this represents being the light of the world. Jesus wants to shine through you. So as we start it on this side, start it in the middle here. So tender and mild, sweet and kind. know what's interesting about these little lights? Individually, you could see it when it's dark. It wouldn't be very bright, but you could still see it. It still shines. If you don't believe me, just in comparison, if you look across the miles in a country, you see yard lights. It's just one light, but it's amazing how it lights up. But now look tonight. How many of us come together and watch all the lights bring more light than ever before? And I think that's a great picture of the body of Christ. When we gather together, we should shine brighter than ever before. Nobody should ever put anybody's light out. We should always make sure, encourage that your light keeps shining. But then when we go to our homes, each of us is a light in our own community, our own place where we live. And that light shines to those that would possibly come by your way or come by your life, whether it be at work or whether it be in everyday life or shopping or whatever it might be. That light is never to go out. And just be encouraged that God wants you to shine just like one light does. But when you come together as a body, whatever church you go to, you're coming together to be a light that's brighter than ever before because you're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ all together. So as we conclude our service tonight, we want to thank you for coming. Thank you for everyone that was involved as far as sharing this great message. One thing I want to encourage you, as common as this message is, don't ever let it become common. Don't ever let it become boring. It's the one thing that will continue to inspire you that if God can bring Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit, what can he do with you? Pretty amazing, isn't it? God can do amazing things. So be inspired, be encouraged, and have a great time enjoying family, friends, maybe neighbors, others that come and be a part of your life. And remember to shine, okay? All right. Are we done singing? Done singing? The world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Be careful as you blow your candle out. You don't blow wax on somebody. We've seen that before. Watch it go whoosh. So God's blessing to you as you go, and if somebody wants to turn the lights back up so we can see, and then as you drop your candles off, there should be a box right back here. You can drop them in, and as you go, be friendly, be kind, enjoy each other's company, and have a great Christmas.